can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWP Radio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vafidez.
Well, here it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's episode number 32 of PWP Radio. We took a week off last week, a very deserving week off, but we are back and better than ever. This is an R-rated episode, but I'm going to start it out a little bit PG here. And I just want to send my heartfelt, you know, condolences to everybody affected by yesterday's horrible, horrible tragedy and out in Boston. It's just unexplainable. I can't even get it through my head what these people were thinking. Whoever did this heinous crime deserves to be put to justice, and I hope, you know, the FBI and our armed forces, whoever, are doing what they can to try to figure out who set off these bombs, who was responsible for this. It really pissed me the fuck off. I'm really pissed. It makes you just shake your damn head and just wonder why. You know, why do people have to be such fucking selfish idiots? And it really pissed me off. So my heartfelt condolences to everybody affected, everybody who knows somebody who was affected. I was lucky enough to not know anybody, you know, that I know of yet. But if you're out there listening, you know, I'm sorry. And I really hope this ends. You know, there's no time for this crap. But this show is dedicated to them, although it's going to be one of our more, I don't want to say negative, but I got a lot of venting to do, ladies and gentlemen. After a long WrestleMania weekend 2 weeks ago, I just got stuff to talk about. You know, I went to the Hall of Fame. I spent two nights at Pro Wrestling Syndicate. Awesome shows, Thursday and Friday night, WrestleMania weekend. You may have seen my interview with superstar Billy Graham on my YouTube page. That's youtube.com/PW Powerhouse TV. And, you know, we're just keeping it real. WrestleMania was cool. The Hall of Fame was cool. But it's been a great year, folks. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse got going just about 1 year ago. And here we are, a year later. You know, episode number 32 of the radio show. And before I bring in any co-hosts, I know I got Toph and John on the line. Just hang on, guys. I just want to thank everybody who's helped along the way. This has been a long year since I started this. I didn't even think I'd do anything with it. I registered ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, and I didn't think anything would happen with it at all. But obviously it did. It's grown into a pretty damn good website. And I just want to thank some of my good friends. You know, I want to thank Will for helping with the videos, helping on the radio show and everything he does. Nick, one of my best friends out there, JCD, of course, who's on hold right now, who I'll bring in momentarily. I'd also like to thank Mac Ration, Brian Waters, Toph, also on hold, Seth, Rick Craig, everybody who's been involved with the radio show. It's been awesome, including Graham GSM Matthews, good guy, Ben, MJ Izanagi, which I don't understand why you call yourself Izanagi, but it is what it is. Rhett Titus for being our most frequent guest. He's been on the show three times. Great guy, great friend of mine. Definitely check out Rhett Titus, Deron Browning, Zach Fellows, Stephen Ronald Jackson, Ford Fisher, John Morehouse, Clint Tonashell, Adolfo Gomez, Drew McIndoe, Mr. Crazy Bill, Matthew Holly, John Towers, Gary Keene, Mashley Ashley, who's one of our biggest fans. She's absolutely awesome, and she's wrote for the site as well. And I know she's listening, so thank you very much, Ashley, for all the support, all the retweets and everything. Mr. Brandon Hudson, I'd also like to thank a good buddy of mine. That's Eric Santamaria from the Wrestling Roundtable, a good friend of mine. I haven't really talked to Eric in a while. I tried to reach out a couple times through text message, but as you all know, everybody's busy out there. Everybody's got their own lives and stuff, so I just want to thank Eric Santamaria, because my time on the Wrestling Roundtable was fantastic. You know, I made some friends for life, and it was a very enjoyable time. So I'd like to get in touch with him soon, talk to him about some stuff, but I'd like to thank Eric. Also, I'd like to thank Pro Wrestling Syndicate. Mr. Eric Pleska has provided us with some great guests and has brought us in with open arms to the PWS family. We were allowed to go in there WrestleMania weekend, kind of go free reign, you know, talk to any wrestler we want. Shoot any interview we wanted, go backstage, the whole nine yards. It was absolutely awesome. So I'd also like to thank Eric Pleska. I also want to thank Miss Adiva, who's our PWP babe. If you haven't checked out Miss Dana Adiva, please go check her out. She's gorgeous, smoking hot. We'll have her back on the show soon. And all of our guests, you know, Mike Bennett was awesome. Maria Kanellis, absolutely fantastic, class act. Mike Bucci was great. John Morrison 2 weeks ago. Kevin Matthews, just, you know, and everybody else. It's been fantastic. I hate to exclude anybody, but Jamalno was great. We've just had a great run here so far, and I hope to continue it, you know, through the summer, hopefully through next fall, maybe even into the winter season. We'll see what happens. But everybody's busy. Everybody's got their own lives, and it just remains to be seen. It's been fucking fun, but I want to talk a little bit before I bring in my co-host. I just want to talk a little bit about what's pissing me off in this wonderful world of professional wrestling. And one thing that really got on my fucking nerves are the wrestling fans I dealt with over WrestleMania weekend. I could not believe, and this is old news maybe. I don't even care if it's old news. If you don't want to listen, fuck you. I don't give a shit. Over WrestleMania weekend, I was so pissed off at the Hall of Fame, you cannot even believe it. I was sitting there dressed up nice, wore a suit, wore a tie, ready to go. Bruno Sammartino, Mick Foley, Trish Stratus, you know the deal, Bob Backlund. A great class, the best class going into the Hall of Fame of all time. I was ready to have a great time, but these fucking idiots in the crowd did everything they could to ruin it for me and for everybody else there who wanted to just enjoy the ceremony. It's supposed to be a classy event. Yet there were signs on the walls that said, please refrain from catcalling. Michael Cole came out, told the crowd, please refrain from catcalling. Please. He said please. You know what I mean? Michael Cole doesn't have to say please to anybody. He's more successful than all of us. And he said please to the fans. And nobody gave any bit of respect. And, you know, it's not just the fans' fault. It's the wrestlers. It's those guys on stage that, when there's a catcall, they acknowledge it. Don't fucking acknowledge the catcalls, and they're not going to happen. These fans are defiant. They try to get themselves over, and it pissed me off. And that's not what I'm about. I'm not about getting myself over. I don't give a shit about me. This is about you. This is about the fans. That's what this show is for. That's what I do this for. I do it for everybody who listens, everybody who enjoys professional wrestling. I'm not doing it for some idiots who want to chant Colt Cabana during a fucking Bob Backlund speech. Like, what are you, out of your fucking mind? You're chanting Colt Cabana during a Bob Backlund speech? Listen, these speeches and whatnot were fantastic. They were great. Everybody busted their ass to put on a great show that night, but the fans did all they could to ruin it. Let me skip ahead to WrestleMania. Same goddamn deal. I'm sitting there next to a father and son, man. These two were awesome. They were your wrestling fans that you would love, that you would just love to see, man. The little kid rooted for all the good guys. The father was there by his side, enjoying the show, getting his kid all hyped up. They were having a good time. Kid was like, I want to say 8 years old, you know, 9 years old, I think he was, having an absolute blast. I told him it was going to be something he'll remember for the rest of his life. And when John Cena came out, this kid was ecstatic, having the time of his life. It was great. But everybody started booing Cena. People are yelling for Cena to turn heel, you know, and I get it. I get that you want to see John Cena turn heel. I understand that. But it's not going to happen. He's the face of the company. Keep fucking dreaming, idiots. It's not going to happen. Anyway, this kid looks to me with these, you know, just almost tears in his eyes and says, I think John Cena is going to turn bad tonight. And I turned and looked at this kid and I said, kid, don't listen to any of these fucking assholes. I might not have said fucking assholes, but don't listen to any of these people, kid. Don't listen to anybody because they're all wrong. John Cena is not going to turn bad. He's not going to turn heel. Believe in John Cena. He will get the job done. So during the match, of course, you know, these idiots chanting stupid stuff. I had these dumbasses a couple seats down from me chanting Super Dragon. Are you out of your fucking mind? You're chanting Super Dragon at WrestleMania? There might not be any more worthless wrestler on this planet than Super Dragon. Are you kidding me? And most of you who are listening, and even the people on my panel, I got four calls waiting. Keep waiting. I'm venting, and you're not going to get on until I'm done. Who the fuck even knows who Super Dragon is? Nobody does. I've seen this guy wrestle maybe once or twice. He's a piece of shit. He sucks. He was a promoter at a, I don't even know, what the fuck was it, a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, one of those little bullshit indie outfits out in the West. Whatever the fuck. You're chanting Super Dragon during Rock vs. Cena. I get it. It's your right. But does it make any sense whatsoever? No, it doesn't. It makes no sense. It ruins the feeling for other fans around you. And that's something that I always take into account whenever I'm at a wrestling show. I'm always worried about the fans around me. I'm not trying to get myself over. I'm not trying to be defiant. I'm not trying to do all these things to, you know, hopefully get a camera shot of me so everybody sees me. No, fuck that. Nobody wants that shit. I mean, obviously some people do, but I don't want it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to deal with it. It's fucked up. So, you know, let's go to Monday Night Raw, the crowd that everybody loved. Everybody loved this crowd on Monday Night Raw, not last night, but a week ago, okay? I get it. Chants are fun. Oh, you had a great time. People chanting RVD during a Randy Orton match. It's to me, and don't get me wrong, at times it's funny, but when chants like that just come out of the blue and are inappropriate, I just don't fucking get it. It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense. Sure, you don't want the fans to sit in their asses or, you know, pretend they're in a library or whatever kind of analogy you want to make up for it. But Jesus Christ, don't put the fans over the wrestling show. The show was damn good. If that crowd wasn't the way it was, the show would have still been good. You know, and people are complaining about the crowd last night. Raw had its problems, but the crowd had nothing to do with it. If that crowd was raucous last night on Monday Night Raw, you people would think the show was awesome because a lot of you are fucking marks and only care about what that crowd thinks, what that crowd fucking thinks. And that's bullshit because next week they're going to be in England, and next week that crowd's going to be nuts, and they're going to be doing that stupid Fandango dance, whatever the fuck. You know, it pisses me off. It's that simple. It pisses me off. So let me just go to one more thing that pisses me off, then I'll start bringing in the panelists. We'll get this show going on the road. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for continuing to listen to me rant and rave and bullshit. This is Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, episode number 32. We will fantasy book Extreme Rules tonight. We will get a lot of things done, but bear with me, okay? Just bear with me a little bit here. One more thing that pisses me off. Now, there's a couple of wrestling podcasts. Actually, there's fucking 1,000 wrestling podcasts out there. And that's cool. That's totally cool. I'm happy for everybody out there who wants to do what we do and what the people before us have done. But like I keep stressing, I'm not about being a monumental success. I'm not about getting myself over. I'm not trying to cash checks, you know, or any kind of bullshit like that I've heard from other radio show hosts. But there's one show that has really, really pissed me off within the past month or so. And I dealt with these idiots on Twitter last night. Just, I don't know, out of chance, somehow I got back involved with this bullshit. And they're called, and I'll even tell you who they are, because I don't really care. You can go check them out, whatever. They got a lot of followers. I don't give a fuck. They're called The Whole Fucking Show. Yeah, they stole Rob Van Dam's nickname for their podcast. And what they did recently, you can look this up on YouTube. I am not lying. If you want the link from me, I can find it and send it your way. Just hit me up on Twitter, at PW Powerhouse. They took an interview done by OneWrestling.com with Bobby the Brain Heenan. Pretty recent. I'd say this is probably within the last 6 months to a year. And I don't know if you've seen Bobby the Brain Heenan or know what he looks like, but he's pretty messed up. You know, the guy's obviously dying. His throat has been pretty much removed. He can't talk anymore. He's a shell of himself. And it's tragic and it's sad. And these guys thought it would be funny to verbally abuse Bobby Heenan for no apparent reason, just because they thought it was funny. Bobby Heenan's a legendary wrestling manager. I love him. You love him. We all love him. We all have Bobby Heenan memories. The guy was absolutely awesome. If you don't know who he is, go listen to his stuff. He was absolutely amazing. But these idiots thought it was necessary to make fun of this guy, and they did it in two videos, got a bunch of hits on it. It kind of went semi-viral, whatever you want to call it. And good for them, whatever the fuck. But what they did next, they created a t-shirt with Bobby Heenan's face on it. You know, his face after the fact that his throat's been removed and he looks like shit and is dying. And they're selling these t-shirts for $20 and they're making money off Bobby the Brain Heenan's likeness. And that pisses me off. That to me, I don't care what they've done in the past. I don't know anything they've done in the past years or months or whatever it may be. But when you do something like that, I would never even think about doing that, trying to capitalize on somebody else, you know, somebody else's illness, somebody else dying with a t-shirt. Give me a break. I mean, I don't even know how many of these they sold. They probably have sold some because they're still up on the site. But you got to understand something. You do not, you absolutely do not do that. And I really wish I could band together some people, just fucking, you know, knock some sense into these guys, man. If I could meet these fucking assholes, I swear to God, I don't even care if they're tough, whatever. I would smack them right upside their faces. I don't even give a shit. Because that is fucking ridiculous. And not only that, but when I start talking about this on Twitter, they use a stupid hashtag. I can't even remember what it is. But they use a dumbass hashtag on Twitter that all their fans and followers, they all search it, and they all freaking hashtag all night long and then jack themselves off, whatever the fuck. They jumped at me and started calling me names just because I disagree with the fact. And they can't justify. Nobody can justify that they're doing this. You know, trying to make money off Bobby Heenan dying. Nobody can justify that. They can't justify it. I, the host of the show can't justify it. So, you know, they have no defense. They think I'm trying to get over. They think I'm jealous of them. That's the farthest thing from the truth. I'm not jealous of them. You know, they're just fucking assholes. Absolutely plain and simple. So I'm going to give you their Twitter name if you give a shit and you kind of, you know, are pissed off the way I am about the way they've handled Bobby Heenan. Hit them up on Twitter, @fuckingshow. That's their Twitter handle. Fucking show, @fuckingshow, just the way it's spelled. Hit them up, tell them they're fucking assholes. Tell them JSJ, Jersey Strong J from Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio thinks they're fucking assholes. And, you know, give them, you know, just tell them your mind. Give them a piece of your mind. Man, this feels good. It feels good to vent. It feels good seeing four people on the line waiting for me to, you know, check in with them. But I think I'm going to do that. One more thing. I called Mike Chiari from Bleacher Report a fucking bitch or pussy. I called him a pussy at the WWE Hall of Fame. The kid was, like, completely shocked. But, yeah, Bleacher Report, I fucking hate them, too. So Bleacher Report sucks. But anyway, let's kick this show off. Thanks for listening to me bullshit. If you want to hear it, you know, go get it on iTunes. We're on iTunes. It's the easiest way to get the show. Check it out shortly after the show is off the air on Stitcher Radio. We're over there, too. And, of course, right here on blogtalkradio.com. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse and at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Once again, I'm using a different kind of system to do the show. I don't know if I sound better. I don't know if I sound worse. But I'm going to try to keep improving the sound quality as we move forward. But let me bring in, looks like it's my boy, Toph, man. Toph, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on? Nice shoot promo you got going on there.
You know what? I'm just pissed, man. It's not really a shoot promo. It's just me venting some frustrations, you know. And I really kind of went overboard on everything when I heard about what happened in Boston yesterday. It just kind of set me off. That's another fucking thing, man. I was at WrestleMania. There was 80,000 people there. And there were huge groups of people outside MetLife Stadium. Huge groups. You're telling me some sick fuck couldn't have drove a car in there, paid the $20 to park, and then blew up a motherfucking car and just killed a bunch of people at MetLife Stadium? Jesus fucking Christ. People are out of their goddamn minds. And that to me, you know, I'm counting my blessings that didn't happen 2 weeks ago at MetLife when there was 80,000 people there. You know what I mean? It just, oh, God. All right. But tonight, Toph, we're gonna book Extreme Rules. We're going to talk about what's been going on in WWE. I got a two-hour live time slot. Not sure if we're going to use it all or not, but we'll see what happens. But I'm going to continue to bring people in. How about my man Will, Mr. TLD?
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion. Folks, it's phenomenal what I do. You get to lay on TLD. Buy everything, damn it. I'm TLD.
What's up, TLD?
Hi. Hello, everybody. Hey, how's everyone doing? Hey, Jay, you did a cold shower?
No. What I need is some Xanax. I'm just kidding. I'm totally cool.
I would have to agree with you. I mean, I was at the Hall of Fame too, and the things you were saying about the Hall of Fame, I totally agree with. I mean, that was just, yeah, I couldn't believe how bad, especially Maria. I forget her last name. I'm sorry.
Menounos. Maria Menounos.
Yeah. You know, they did mention don't heckle, don't do any of that, and they were doing right around it. And it was my first time with my dad since, like, WrestleMania 18, where we got to experience a wrestling event together. And, man, I was just so angry at all that crowd. I was just, oh, my God, I could not believe it. And these are the type of fans I would have thought would not do that stuff. And it just was unreal.
Yeah, since you guys brought that up, the weird thing about it is, you guys know the little press conference they do before WrestleMania. You know, I remember, like, before, you know, a few years ago, they used to do those press conferences in front of live, you know, like, fans. But those fans started to react in ways similar to the Hall of Fame ceremony. And in more recent years, now they have those press conferences kind of more in front of more professional business people, you know, like people that really aren't fans of wrestling per se, more like media outlets sort of. And I think that they're probably going to do that for the Hall of Fame if the fans keep, you know, acting this way every year.
I sure as hell hope they don't. But I got to say that probably now backstage, I'm sure that there was a mixed reaction. I'm not sure the crowd was pissed off. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not sure Vince McMahon was pissed off the crowd. But, you know, he likes – I know for a fact he loves that environment. He has to, because that shows people watching at home that it's fun to be there. But there's a point – there's a line you got to just make in the sand that you don't want to cross. And what they did to Maria Menounos was absolutely pathetic. Bob Backlund deserved better than that, for crying out loud. But let's just move – yeah, Trump too, man. He deserved better. But let's keep this going. I'm going to bring in – and I got to congratulate – my man JCD on the birth of a beautiful baby boy. John, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on? It's going to be a quick pop-in. I just wanted to say hello and, you know, congratulations on the 1 year. And, you know, also thank you, you know, for the kind words, even from some people from the shows. I got some kind words. Even Tope hit me up. So I just wanted to say what's up, and I just want to say thanks and let everyone know that mom and baby are doing very well.
Man, that's absolutely awesome. Thank you, John, because by chance, somehow you became a full-time member of the show. You called in. I'll never forget. You called in randomly one night. I kept you on the line, and it became an every-week thing, man. And you've been a great member of the team, awesome writer, very opinionated. And you also have your own show, which is every Wednesday night, OU Didn't Know Radio. And, man, I just wanted to thank you again for everything.
Thanks, guys, and I'll be back probably in the next week or so. I just, you know, things are still very fresh and exciting, so I just wanted to say thank you to you guys for including me in everything, and, you know, again, congrats on the 1 year, bro.
Oh, thanks, man. You got it, brother. Take your time. You know, as long as you need, we're going to be here. Like I said, I'm not, as you guys know, I'm not an asshole. I like to have fun with this, you know. I'm not trying to, you know, roll with an iron fist or some bullshit. So as long as it takes you, man, you know, you're always welcome back to Fold Up and Powerhouse Radio.
Thanks,
and the whole team. All right, brother. Thanks a lot, man.
Talk to you later.
See you, man. All right. And I got another caller on the line. I'm looking here at my list of phone numbers, and it doesn't look familiar to me, so I'm going to take it. Since it is open mic night, if you want to call in, please do. If you want to air your grievances, whatever, call in 760-888-5749. We're having some fun tonight. Next week, we're getting back to the normal routine. We're going to have a special guest, and that special guest is Rock and Roll Express, the rocker Ricky Morton, baby. Ricky Morton, one of the greatest of all time, especially in the tag team division. Ricky Morton, it'll be an honor for him to join us. He will be taking his spot in the Smoky Mountain Cup coming up soon. It's a tournament that will determine the number one contender for their world championship. And Ricky Morton will join us next week. But right now, let's kick it to the 347 area code. 347, what's up? You're on the line.
Oh, my God.
Hello?
Oh, my God.
Hey, 347, what's going on?
What's up, bro?
What's up? You got something to say tonight, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse?
So lucky. I have to do
a bit. No, not much.
All right, cool. You just listening? You want me to put you back on hold?
Yeah, I'm just listening. Just chilling for now.
All right, cool. I'll put you back on hold.
That one. All right.
It's cool, man. I'll put you back on hold. You just stay on hold and listen. That's fine. I'm not trying to – this show is going to be a little bit different tonight. I'm not trying to take it too seriously. I'm going to try to have a good time. I'm going to try to air my grievances a little bit on the shit I've been dealing with. Just let you guys know I've been busy as hell. If you've emailed me or tweeted me and I haven't gotten back to you, I've been really busy. I'm going through – I'm in two schools right now, trying to get my shit together, trying to get one of those quote-unquote real jobs so I can make a real living, support my family and all that kind of stuff. So I've been busy as hell. It will slow down soon, especially in the summertime. But, you know, it's just been a busy time period. But I'll be here each and every week on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio each Tuesday night. And once again, you want to call in 760-888-5749. But right now we're going to get into some Raw talk, and Monday Night Raw last night was pretty interesting show. I mean, I'm going to say interesting because there were some major events that happened, but there were certain things that I wasn't too fond of, including the pacing of the card, including the placement of certain segments or matches on the card. But there was some bright spots, and let's talk a little bit about it. Toph, let's get your opinion on Monday Night Raw last night.
It was an okay show. The pacing wasn't that good, as you mentioned before. The Kofi Cesaro match was really just kind of the highlight of the match for me. I had a really good match, and I was just really just kind of scratching my head, really, just on, you know, just Cesaro's booking. And I guess as I was watching that match, I just didn't see any reason why it couldn't have been the WrestleMania card. I was confused as to why Cesaro lost. Don't get me wrong, like, you know, Kofi's cool. You know, I've always been a fan of Kofi. I mean, Cesaro, you know, earlier today I did a post about the United States Championship. Cesaro, he is the second longest reigning champion in WWE's version, you know, because there's the WCW U.S. title and there's the WWE U.S. title. Him and Shelton Benjamin have held the belt for 240 days, you know, and that's a really long accomplishment. And someone like Cesaro, you know, he deserves to drop the title in a meaningful feud. And he had the belt for months and then just disappears off the face of TV, not on Mania, and then just randomly loses it to Kofi out of nowhere. I didn't get it, you know. I mean, congrats to Kofi. You know, nothing against him. I just feel like, you know, this could have, he could have lost it. I don't like the fact that he lost it this way. If you're going to lose a belt, I want it to mean something. And he just lost it. It was a good match, and I don't agree with the booking there. But I thought the show was fine.
That's the thing. It's like, let's talk a little bit about Cesaro while we're talking about him. And, you know, the thing with him is, you know, he's a great wrestler. We all know that. He had a great reign with the United States Championship. But this story goes a little deeper than just bad booking and the way he was used. I believe, personally, I don't know anything. I don't read any dirt sheets. I don't have any insider scoop from backstage, what have you. But I believe he probably has some heat. He's probably rubbed somebody the wrong way, some way, somehow. I wouldn't be surprised if it came from outshining the baby faces. I know Nigel McGuinness had that problem in TNA where Hogan straight up tweeted me and told me that was his issue, that Nigel was outshining the babyface and they needed to find a way for him to not do that. And I've heard about that in wrestling before. You know, you're the heel. You can't outshine the babyface guys, no matter if you're going to win or lose the match. And he was doing that, whether it was on purpose or not. I doubt it was on purpose. But some of the spots he does are just so amazing. You know, the strength he shows, that uppercut and whatnot, maybe – just something rubbed guys the wrong way. Maybe he was too stiff with a guy like The Miz or with Randy Orton, and they complained because we all know that happened in the past with, you know, Mr. Anderson. He put a nasty bump on Randy Orton, and next day, thing we know, he's fired. But Cesaro is going through those growing pains right now on the WWE roster. I don't think they're stupid enough to let him go because he is majorly talented, but there is something else that further lies here with Cesaro. I think they're testing him. I think they're making sure that he's tough enough, so to speak, and that he can get through this. You know what I mean? Because it's obvious the United States Championship doesn't mean anything to them. And don't get me wrong, man. Like, I like to relate everything in pro wrestling to real sports, to real life, because I'm a big sports fan. And when you really break it down, when you break down professional wrestling, what is it supposed to be? It's sports entertainment. It's supposed to be like a sport. That's what it is. You know, they don't calculate win-loss records and shit. But certain matches give you a number one contendership. Certain matches make you win a championship. Matches sometimes mean something, sometimes they really don't. But they should mean everything. And when I look at, you know, Cesaro, if you want to just look at it from a layman's perspective and not like I don't know what you want to call it, like an opinionated person like you are, Tope, or Will is, or myself. If you want to look at it from just like your average Joe fan, they might just see it as, you know, he's on a losing streak. Oh, man, he's just losing matches. He can't seem to win matches. He's just not on a hot streak. Oh, he just seems to be losing. That's the way I look at it. Because there are times, like, I'm a big freaking Philadelphia 76er fan, man, and they could barely win a game this year. They suck. They were awful. And they were on a lot of losing streaks. Although they had great talent, although they played really good sometimes, though sometimes they lost by 1 point, sometimes they lost by 20 points. They went on a losing streak, and that's what I think we have to look at the way Antonio Cesaro is being treated right now. He's got to be treated like it's just a losing streak. I think he'll be back. Maybe somehow it's a blessing in disguise for him. Who knows? Maybe he'll get through this growing pain and he'll push over the United States title. You know, John Cena's a champion and whatnot. Who the fuck knows? It's very possible that that could happen. Before we go to Will, because I want to hear Will's take on this, because Will is a very opinionated person, I want to just take a phone call, because it's very rare when we get them. But let's take a phone call. Let's go for 646 area code. Yo, you're on the air. PWP Radio, what's up?
Hey, Jay, how are you? How's it going? Great show. First-time caller. I just want to get your take on Ryback. I'm just confused on this whole angle. Is he a heel or a face? Can you guys, what do you guys think?
First of all,
should he be heel or face against going to Messina?
All right, first of all, what's your name, man? Where are you from?
Paul from Brooklyn.
Paul from Brooklyn. What's up, Paul?
Yeah.
Okay, so Ryback is an interesting scenario. I think if there was any doubt.
You heard about that his ex, well, you mentioned his ex-wife, Cena's ex-wife.
Yes.
He made a comment towards him or something?
Yeah, that's just what I was about to mention, man, is if there was any doubt in anyone's mind after last night when he walked away from Cena, like, that's a heel to kind of move enough there. But if there was any doubt in anyone's mind today when he tweeted about Cena's ex-wife, man, that's a heel tactic if I've ever seen one. So I think it's a full steam ahead right now with the heel Ryback. I think we're going to see kind of less of the Feed Me More thing. Don't even be surprised if they change his music soon to not encourage fans to do the Feed Me More thing.
Yeah, that's
what I mean.
Guessing,
I think,
because he didn't get a lot of heel reaction last night, I think.
No,
of
course
he didn't.
Of course he wouldn't.
Did he? I mean, I didn't think he did.
No. No, not until he got a little bit of heat when he started walking away from Cena, as
right.
You know, anybody would. But that's only because Cena was getting his ass kicked by the Shield. And it wouldn't matter if it was Ryback or, Randy Orton, whoever. They'd get that same kind of heat. But great question, man. And we'll be sure to talk more about that tonight. But thanks for the call, Paul. We really appreciate it. And keep listening, brother.
You got it. Thanks.
Thanks, man. You got it, man. Thank you very much. Now, we'll talk a little bit about Ryback. I'll talk about him next. We'll go on to this. But while we were talking about Cesaro, I want to kick it to Will real quick. Will, what are your thoughts on Antonio Cesaro and what has taken place with him over not just last night dropping the United States title, but over the past few months with his series of losses?
You know, I really don't – I always had a hard time with him. There were times where I was up and down with Cesaro. As talented as he is, he just wasn't entertaining for me. I think he's got the sports part down, but the entertainment part, he didn't have that at all. It was just not something – I mean, maybe old school fans are going to love him, but kids today and parents are not going to really react to him. I thought that being with Jack Swagger would have been a better fit for him. Like, those two together, to me, would fit better based on their gimmick and what they're trying to do. I thought that was better. Not to mention he had that American gimmick going, and then they stopped it as soon as Swagger came on board. I thought, why not just put the two together, you know, and kind of combine the forces a little bit. So that's where I thought he would fit best. And honestly, him as United States champion, I don't care how long of a reign he is. You know, they've always mentioned that you can have a title so many days. And Mick Foley has always stated he had, at the Hall of Fame, he stated this, he had the belt for 2 weeks, like, or 30 days. That's as long as he's had a WWE title. And he's more over than probably half of the champions that ever lived. You know, Cesaro's not over. He's just not. You know, no matter how good of a wrestler, you could be the greatest wrestler in the universe. But if you don't got the gimmick and you're not entertaining, you're just not going to get over with the fans. And that's just this case. They put people over that, honestly, deserve to go over more than him, no matter if he had a belt or not. They just didn't deal with the title change until after Mania. They didn't want to deal with it yet. And Kofi was on the pre-show of WrestleMania. Cesaro was anywhere on the show. But at least Kofi was on the YouTube show when they did their Super Bowl kind of thing with the Legends. So that, to me, is why I think Kofi got over. I think he's a better fit for the United States title than Cesaro, and I don't see Cesaro really going anywhere right now.
About
unless
the Cesaro being over and
unless
not being over?
Swagger,
oh, sorry.
Unless he is with Jack Swagger, there's absolutely no reason, or he's got to get repackaged. It's one or the other.
Okay, well, what you just said about Cesaro not being over, I think is kind of a glass half full. A lot of his matches, the fans react. Many of the matches he's had on Superstars, on SmackDown, on pay-per-view, I think in his in-ring ability, Fans react to him. Now, his character, on the other hand, I'll agree with you there. What confused me about Cesaro was when they first introduced him, I felt like he had everything he needed when he was with Oksana. Now, me personally, I never cared much for Oksana. I still don't like her. But the way they brought Cesaro in, it worked because Oksana was like Teddy Long's girlfriend, right? And Cesaro just kind of stole Oksana from Teddy. So it made Cesaro look like this, you know, this huge douche. You know, it was a great way to make him a heel. He was getting consistent reactions every week. And then so early into the run, they took away Oksana. And by taking away Oksana, you kind of took away any reason for the fans to kind of care for him. And I think a lot of fans, when I look at Cesaro, he kind of reminds me of a bigger Dean Malenko. You know, great wrestler, great worker. And, you know, fans react to his matches.
Hey, WWE Radio, what's your name? Where are you from?
Oh, hello, Jay.
Sorry, guys.
Okay.
Go ahead, Toph, my bad.
No, it's okay. Cesaro just had a, he just reminds me of a Dean Malenko, you know, great matches, great worker. But, you know, just the gimmick is just not working. But I think it's partially WWE's fault. I thought that he was getting, I felt like he was, because when he was with Oksana, he was getting reactions when it first started, but then they just took her away early, and I didn't really understand that, but yeah.
Sorry about that, Toph. I was testing something new here on the Blog Talk Radio thing. They got some new kind of system going on here, but I was trying to screen a call and it just didn't work. So let's just take this call real quick. 914 area code. You're on the air with PWP Radio. What's up? What's your name? Where are you from?
What's up, boys? It's Lucas from New York. You know, I'm actually the co-host now for a Spoilers podcast, and
I
got a quick question here. What's up,
man?
Where do you guys see the Miz going in the near future? Because right now it just seems like his career is in huge jeopardy. I mean, obviously he still does the outside work for WWE and stuff, you know, with the media, so he's still recognizable. But as far as like in the ring, this guy's just not relevant at all. So he seems to be going on a huge downhill. Just what do you guys think is going to happen with The Miz?
All right. I think The Miz is going to be fine. The kids like him. He does a lot of stuff for Nickelodeon and other, you know, PG-related material. He's kind of like R-Truth. He does a lot of outside media stuff for WWE. I definitely think his days as a main eventer are done. He is improving. I will give him that. I did not like him as a wrestler when he was getting his WWE title push. He is improving. The way he put the figure four on Wade Barrett in that pre-show, I've never seen it applied in that way, and I've been watching wrestling for a very long time. So he is improving. He is working on his craft. But I think he's just fine. He's just going to be your mid-carder emergency main eventer every now and then. He'll be all right.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, Toph. Right now, I believe he's filming a movie or taking some time off or something. Not sure exactly what, but he's taking a couple weeks off or whatnot, and that's fine for him because he'll come back and he'll get a pop like usual. His career in the ring might be in a little bit of a flux, let's say, like kind of nothing's really going on, especially since he won the Intercontinental title and dropped it right back to Wade Barrett. But when he comes back, he won't miss a beat, man. He's really over. And I'm curious to get Will's take on this question. Will, what do you think about The Miz right now and the way his career is going?
You know, I think The Miz is doing just fine. He's doing a lot of publicity stuff. You know, he's a very marketable guy. You know, he's a very, you know, from where he came from to where he is now, people like that. You know, people like that kind of story, you know, what he's doing right now. And just because, you know, he's not, you know, being in the spotlight like he used to be, I mean, honestly, when he became champion, a lot of people did watch him. You know, there was the fans were there. You know, so don't say that it wasn't. He's just doing stuff right now. Like, I met him at Access, and the guy, just the way he reacts to everything at Access, the way he talks to people, the way he talked to me, he held up my Intercontinental title right in front of the fans. You know, that's the kind of stuff that makes me like someone like The Miz, whether he's a heel or a face, because he's a company guy, just like John Cena's a company guy. You know, Dolph Ziggler is a company guy. You know, that's just, those are the guys that you respect, even if The Miz is not the greatest wrestler in the world. And he's not, but he's a hell of a lot better than when he first started, I can tell you that much. And the guy came a long way from where he was wearing the hat, you know, being with John Morrison, to being Intercontinental champion, becoming WWE champion. He came a long way. And he had a hard road. And he'll tell you, you know, from JBL, his hard road that he had to deal with. and he's just an amazing asset to the company. That guy is like the next Chris Jericho of the company. He will always be like marketing about WWE. He will never talk bad about the company. So honestly, he has a picture on my wall right here. I'm looking right at him with his Money in the Bank briefcase, smiling, having a good time. He's a company guy, and he deserves it.
You know, we always talk about the lack of mid-carders. You know, I will admit that The Miz is one of the last legitimate guys that took that old-school approach. The thing is that most guys don't like him. I mean, just look at Miz's career. You can parallel it precisely to Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart. He started off as a tag team guy, had a few tag team runs, had a mid-card title, won Money in the Bank, won a world title. You know, he had that old-school build. The thing is, people just don't like him. So, yeah, but... yeah, he's all right.
Yeah, I think it's far from over for The Miz. You know, he's probably got another decade left in the tank, and yeah, he'll be fine, man. So I hope that answers your question, Lucas. Thanks for calling, man, and make sure to listen to Lucas on Spoilers each and every. I guess it's, what are you guys doing now? Thursday, Fridays? You guys do it differently every week. What's the deal? What day is it this week?
Oh, I still don't know. Graham's gonna hit me up about that though. So just make sure to tune in, guys.
All right, thanks, Lucas. Appreciate it. He's the newest member of the team. He's one of the aforementioned people that sent me an email, and because shit has just been crazy and busy, I forgot to email him back. But luckily enough, he was cool about it. He sent me a polite email, seeing if I forgot about him, but I did, actually. Sorry about that, Lucas. But, I got back to him. And now he's one of our co-hosts for the Spoilers show, which can be found every week. These kids seem to do it whenever they want, which... whatever, I don't give a shit. But we're still talking about Raw last night, and we've already gone over Cesaro. I think just to end that conversation a little bit, while I get both your points, I still think it's some kind of backstage issue with him that I'm sure will be resolved in no time. There's a lot of guys who have been through that, including The Miz, including Triple H. They've all been through that kind of heat process, and that's what Cesaro's going through now. And hopefully he'll bounce back and get through it. And I could see a rematch with Kofi, hopefully putting Kofi over a little bit more. But, man, I put this idea out on Twitter, and if anybody who's listening saw it or heard about it, I had this great idea where you would somehow turn him babyface to feud with Swagger over that United States Championship. But that's obviously not the way they're going. But to keep moving along, we started on Ryback, and it was interesting what happened with Ryback last night. They tied this whole entire story together, what has taken place with him over the past 6 months or so with his feud with CM Punk, his feud with The Shield, and now with John Cena. You know, it kind of all ties together. If you look back, it was a great booking, and it seems like this was the plan all along. Or was it? Or was WWE just trying to kind of say, oh, hey, TNA, what you can do, we can do better? Because it seems like it's oddly... like, I don't think WWE should have to respond to TNA in any way, shape, or form, but they definitely borrow some things. And I would say that I'm sure they have somebody on their staff that watches Impact every single week and can say, oh, that's pretty cool. Let's put our little twist on it. Let's do it our own way. And this was eerily reminiscent, although more compact and a shorter story than the one Bully Ray told about him and being the leader of Aces and Eights, being the president of Aces and Eights. Ryback kind of went chronologically through that promo and told everybody, you know, why he got pissed off and attacked Cena and whatnot. But I thought it was pretty cool, pretty well done. I think it was Ryback's best promo to date. I saw Mick Foley on Twitter just after this aired. He said, oh, I think I see a little bit of Paul Heyman in that. And I bet you that's the case because it was pretty fucking good. But let's kick it over to Will. And Will, man, what were your thoughts on this Ryback apparent full-blown heel turn with O'Doyle rules. Not O'Doyle. Ryback rule.
Yeah, you know, I actually liked it. I liked the story, and it made sense. They went back in time. They went through different scenarios where, you know, he wouldn't help John Cena, and were times where Cena didn't help him, and because he was so focused on The Rock and the WWE title that he lost sight of his, like, friend. You know, the story was told very well. It was very... that was probably the biggest thing I took away from the entire show. That was the moment, that was the one part where I really enjoyed it. And I thought it made total sense, and everything he said made sense. And it's good. I like it. I like Ryback going heel. I think there's people just doing too many Goldberg chants, and I think people would, you know, people would be on John Cena's side a little bit more this way. And I like it. I think it's going to work out. Do I think Ryback's going to win? There's no chance in hell that that's going to happen. You know, they have to build him up, like kind of like how they did with Mark Henry a little bit. But he needs some time because he's been trying to push him face for months. And now they're going to quickly switch him to a heel. But they're doing it slowly. So that's my take on it.
How about you, Toph? You must have a little bit of an opinion on this. And what do you think about the possibility of WWE trying to take what TNA did with Bully Ray and Ace and Ace and try to put their own spin on it with Ryback?
It seems very rushed. I'm not really a fan of it. I've always been a fan of philosophy. If it's not broke, why fix it? I thought Ryback was getting consistent reactions as a babyface, and the kids love him. I think it's too early to turn him heel. From a booking standpoint, it doesn't make sense. How do you lose 6 pay-per-views in a row and all of a sudden you're worthy of a title shot? That's just stupid. I don't know what the deal was with The Rock. I don't believe in dirt sheets and stuff, but clearly something happened. It doesn't make sense. How do you lose 6 pay-per-views in a row? You lose against Mark Henry, and then all of a sudden you just go heel and you fight Cena? He never even got his win over Henry. I mean, they just completely dropped that. And, yeah, the Shield screwed him, but he never got his revenge against them either. They're just dropping all of that. The Cena stuff makes sense. Yeah, all the stuff with Cena makes sense. You know, Cena cost him the Rumble. Cena did all that stuff to him. Cena cost him the match Elimination Chamber. Cena never helped him. Right back to, yeah, that makes sense. That all makes sense. But the whole Henry thing, you know, you just can't get a title shot and not beat Henry or not even win a pay-per-view in like 6 months. It just seems very rushed. And I think that whatever happened with The Rock has something to do with it. I think they probably had another plan. And whatever happened with The Rock, they just went into panic mode and just probably made this the last second. You know, but best of luck to Ryback. You know, Edge said himself that he would rather be the number one heel than number two babyface. And the simple matter of fact is that Cena is the top babyface. So we'll just have to see where it goes.
Yeah, very valid points, Toph. I can agree with you on some of them. Some I don't quite agree with. I don't think that the plan was to involve The Rock with Cena, but in a way, I kind of do. And it's just, it was weird how Booker T last week on Raw came out and said, you know, The Rock is the number one contender. You know, he outright said that. The Rock's the number one contender. And I didn't really get that. Like, why would The Rock be the number one contender? I guess he automatically gets a rematch.
Yeah, rematch clause.
Everybody knows. Yeah, everybody knows he's injured, and, you know, Mark Henry had to kind of earn it, and Ryback's not earning it. I think this is going to be a case where they're turning it into a serious personal issue, even with Ryback's words on Twitter. I don't know if you saw the tweet today, but I got to bring it up. I can't exactly quote it right now, but he mentioned something about John Cena's ex-wife, and it was pretty risque. I mean, I didn't expect it when I read it. I was kind of like, oh, shit, this is getting a little bit personal. Because it just didn't seem Ryback-esque. You know, it didn't fit his character. It was more like something, you know, The Miz would say, or even John Cena would say. I'm sorry, not John Cena. Even The Rock would say to John Cena. Kind of like, this is what he said, and I got the quote right here. Watching the pain on Cena's face was worth standing back for. Funny, the two things he says I lack, his ex-wife seems to love. Hashtag Ryback rules. So take that for what it's worth. Funny, the two things he says I lack, his ex-wife seems to love. So, I mean, that to me is full-blown heeldom. Like, he is absolutely, positively all the way heel at this point. And, hey, I think it's going to be a good match when it happens at Extreme Rules. I think it'll be pretty good. I'm not against it at all. Does it seem rushed? Yeah, man. You're taking a guy who's your you know, arguably your number two, maybe number three babyface in the entire roster. You're turning him heel. You're kind of rushing this whole thing, but it has been rumored. It has been speculated for a long time that they were going to go this way, some way, shape, or form. They were going to turn Ryback heel, and it's happened. And I'm not necessarily against it. I'm just going to wait and see what happens. You know, it just got going. But Will's going to rejoin us in a little bit. He just had to take a little bit of a shower or some stuff like that. But whatever the case may be, it's open mic night here on PWP Radio. I kind of went on a little venting rampage to kick off the show today, and it was fun. It felt good. It felt good to get that shit off my chest. We are an R-rated show tonight. We can curse. We can do whatever the fuck we want. I put that mature audience thing up on Blog Talk Radio, so they can't get mad at me in any way, shape, or form. But if you'd like to call in and get your voice heard on the air, the number is 760-888-5749. Next week, we'll have Ricky Morton. Yes, Ricky Morton from the Rock and Roll Express will join us, and we'll talk a little bit about the Smoky Mountain Cup, which he's involved in, which will take place soon, where he's going to be in this tournament with guys like Scrap Iron Adam Pierce. Sorry about that. Guys like Adam Cole. It's just going to be a great roster of talent. So we got a lot to talk about with Ricky Morton next week. And tomorrow night, right here on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network on Oh You Didn't Know Radio, we'll have none other than Bull Buchanan. Bull Buchanan. When was the last time you heard that name? When was the last time you heard anything about Bull Buchanan? I think that'll be very interesting. But right now, I'm just going to take a sweet little break, and we'll be right back. And let me just play the song that I just purchased on iTunes because it seemed to be the thing to do. And it was funny. I was at a wedding the other day, and I played the song, and everybody got a kick out of it. So here's a song that everybody's crazy. It's the Fandango song. And I'll just play it. You can listen to it if you want. If you don't want to listen to it, fuck you. You know, turn off the show, whatever the case may be. PWP Radio, taking a quick 3-minute break, and we'll be back. And we'll talk a little bit about, I don't know, whatever the fuck we want. Be right back. Enough is enough of Fandango. We're back here, Pro Wrestling Power, number 32, where we've had a great show already, and it's just going to get better because in a few short moments, we will book WWE Extreme Rules 2013. We'll just go down what we think the card should be, what we want it to be, what we hope happens at the show. We already know a couple matches. Obviously, Brock Lesnar versus Triple H will take place inside of a 15-foot-high steel cage, and I can only hope and pray that they bring back the old school blue cage, although we know that's not going to happen. But we also know that Cena is probably going to defend against Ryback. And we've got Dolph Ziggler, the new world heavyweight champion, defending in a triple threat match of some sort against Jack Swagger and Alberto Del Rio. But we're back in the show live, and you know, I vented a little bit earlier, and you know, if anyone's offended by it, I, you know, it is what it is. These people who were making fun of Bobby Brain Heenan, the stupid radio show out there, it pissed me off. It pissed me off really, really bad. And you don't want to get me pissed off, because I'm like Jeff Jarrett. I'll sneak around a fucking hallway and smack you over the head with a guitar. But no, I'm just kidding. But Toph, we're back, man, and let's talk a little bit about what happened last night with Brock Lesnar and this rubber match seemingly with Triple H. A lot of people are upset about it, man. I was looking at my Twitter feed. Everybody thinks they could do something better or different with Brock Lesnar, but I personally see it as a rubber match, as a match where Brock Lesnar will get the decisive victory over Triple H, and Triple H will once again go into semi-retirement. And, you know, hopefully Brock Lesnar will stick around for a little while this year. What are your thoughts on the third contest between Triple H and Brock Lesnar?
I'm sorry, man. Like, I'm not trying to be too negative, but I just have no interest. They just, their matches are bad. I'm not feeling their chemistry at all. Like, I've tried to give it a chance. I went back and I watched their match at SummerSlam, you know, right before WrestleMania. Their styles just do not gel at all. It's too slow. Just no, their match and Mania put me to sleep. Just no. I mean, they're great workers. You know, I'm a big fan of both of them in the ring. It's just with each other, just no. I have no interest seeing them at all. Their matches do absolutely nothing for the future. Brock Lesnar needs to be fighting guys like Sheamus and Daniel Bryan. He needs to be fighting guys of the future. Triple H needs to just stop wrestling, period, and just do his job and just be a booker or whatever the hell he's doing. Any matches that these two have is taking up time that could go to younger. I just have no interest seeing these guys at all.
Yeah, you got a very valid point. I think the thing with Brock Lesnar right now is they're trying to just put him with marquee names because he's such a pay-per-view draw that they don't want to put him with a lower card name. But I think you know, he will defeat Triple H. Triple H will kind of ride off into the sunset again for a while before he decides to come back next year for WrestleMania. and then Brock Lesnar will move on to fight some of those guys. You know, I think a match with Sheamus would be pretty interesting. Brock Lesnar definitely has a different style now in the WWE than he did before, back, you know, 10 years ago. And obviously he would. He's 10 years older. But he's got a different style. And that's what I think makes this match a little bit hard to watch. I enjoyed the match at WrestleMania. I thought it was a big improvement from SummerSlam. Yeah, the crowd was a little bit dead, but that's only because the Undertaker and CM Punk is so
Taker.
Much out of us.
Taker. That's my thing with Taker, man. That's my thing with Taker. Like, I love Taker, but as far as I'm concerned, like, you know, if you're gonna keep, you know, if he's gonna keep wrestling at Mania, as far as I'm concerned, he needs the main event, because his matches are the matches that most fans are mostly invested in. His matches are the matches that steal the show. And whatever match follows his match, the crowd's going to just be dead for. This has been consistent year after year at WrestleMania. After Undertaker, HBK at Mania 25, that crowd was done. You were there. You should know. WrestleMania 26, they learned their lesson, and they had HBK Taker main event. WrestleMania 27, I was there, and I loved that match, even though I wasn't a fan of the booking. You know, and, you know, the moment where everyone thought the streak was going to end with Triple H tombstone, and that got the crowd going crazy, and Taker won. And then after that, you know, the crowd just fell asleep. And then WrestleMania 28, they did it again, you know, when Triple H and Taker had the match. Now, Jericho-Punk was a good match, but, you know, those first opening 5 to 10 minutes, the crowd just kind of really couldn't get into it. But the final moments when Punk and Jericho were exchanging the Walls of Jericho and the Anaconda Vice, that was when the crowd started to get back into it. And, you know, it happened again at WrestleMania 29. You know, the misfortune of following Taker, it just kills the crowd. So my thing with Taker is, if he's going to be at Mania, he just needs to be in the main event, because that's the match people want to see, and it's going to get the crowd hyped up. And, you know, that 8-person tag, you know, even though it's a filler match, its absence really hurt Brock and Triple H, because that crowd was just, they were spent from Punk Taker.
Yeah, if you put that match in between, I think that would have made a lot of sense. But they were going kind of on that WrestleMania 19 vibe where you didn't really have much of a break. You kind of had all your main events in a row, but I think they did have some kind of little match in between there, if my memory serves me correctly. But that's kind of what they were going for. You had two halves of the show, P. Diddy being the halftime show. But I think even if you just swapped, you know, Taker Punk with Brock and Triple H, I think both matches would have had a better reaction. You know, you would have had a better reaction to Brock and Trips, and you would have still had that amazing reaction to Undertaker and CM Punk, and you really wouldn't have had to worry about The Rock and Cena, because by the time you got there, let me tell you what, I got to MetLife Stadium at about 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and I was there until freaking midnight trying to get out of the parking lot, so it was a long, 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 long day, to say the least, and by the time you get to that main event spot, you know, a lot of that crowd is drained as it is, because there were a lot of people that were there for a long, long time. But as far as Brock and Trips are concerned, I'm glad it's going to come to an end. I think having a third match is the only logical way they can go at this point. But I'm going to be happy to see Brock Lesnar kind of move on and wrestle some other people. So that's going to be one big match we know is taking place at Extreme Rules. I'm going to bring Will back. Will's back on the line. And we're talking a little bit about Brock and Triple H. And we're about to book our Extreme Rules 2013 card, because this card has been fantastic the last couple years. And I think it's going to be pretty good this year. But let me hear your thoughts on the rubber match that's going to take place, confirmed that Brock Lesnar will take on Triple H in a steel cage match.
I got to tell you, if this match was not on the card, I don't even know if it would be even worth watching Extreme Rules. I just find nothing about this show right now that just makes me want to watch Extreme Rules. It's going to be an effort. I think this match should be the main event. This match should top the show, you know, and I just wish there was more talent right now on the roster that could help with this. But, yeah, I'm worried. I mean, I think this match is going to be great. I'm glad they're doing it. That's for sure. They definitely needed to do it. I think it'll definitely bring in an audience, and I think people will be interested. This should main event the show. And Brock Lesnar should definitely go over. But, you know, I mean, I'm happy. I think Lesnar should win. I think the match at WrestleMania was better than SummerSlam. That's for damn sure. It was a hell of a lot better. And a lot of people around me were like, this match is boring. I was like, no, the match is not boring. You're just too drawn out from what happened before. And that's really why it's boring. If you honestly put this way before the Undertaker match, or you didn't even have the Undertaker match, I think a lot of people would be invested in it. But a lot of people are like, you know, they're part-time wrestlers, too, and they don't show up that often, so why would be invested in it? You know, nothing really comes out of it. So it's kind of a, you know, it's a very hard situation, I think. But I think Lesnar will come out the winner if Triple H does business right. But honestly, I think Triple H should be back full-time right now because they need somebody. This is a very – the way I've had an epiphany that right now the WWE – is in a real tough spot right now. They're gonna lose a lot of people. They lost The Rock. They're gonna lose Jericho. CM Punk is gonna be gone. Triple H is gonna be gone. Lesnar's not gonna be here all the time. They're in a real tough spot right now.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that. They're in trouble at this point. They don't really need The Rock. Chris Jericho's taking a 2-week
break.
I'm sure
he'll
be around.
They need The Rock more than anything right now. They need it more than anything right now. I'm telling you right now, the WWE product is going to suck for the next couple of months. I'm telling you now. I'm not going to be happy with it.
Yeah, you could be right. They usually have a lull after WrestleMania, but Extreme Rules was absolutely awesome last year. And
with
guys like, yeah, you know, there's still a chance The Undertaker might stick around. We know The Undertaker is going to be taking on The Shield, him and Team Hell No.
Yeah, that would be a great match.
Raw.
Or if that happens,
really
it'll be great.
Yeah, and if that who knows what's going to happen there during that Raw match? It might somehow spiral into a match at Extreme Rules at some point. I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not.
Since you brought that up, man, I just want to talk about Taker for a second. A lot of fans are like, "No, Taker should just work one match a year." And since you said this is rated R tonight, right?
Yeah, say whatever you want.
Yeah, you guys can shut the fuck up. Taker can work whenever the fuck he wants to work. Taker is fucking amazing. We need to start getting these old guys. We need to start putting some rub on the newer guys. You know, Lesnar, Triple H, Rock, you know, God bless them. They're not doing it. They're working with other established guys that don't need the rub. Let Taker work against the Shield. It doesn't even matter if they lose. Just wrestling Taker in general will do them wonders. Daniel Bryan being in a tag team with Taker, that by itself puts over four guys, and it gives Kane something to do. Taker's in great shape. It's just one match. Just let Taker work the match. If it leads to a swerve, then let it be a pay-per-view match at Extreme Rules. There is nothing wrong with Taker working a match outside of Mania, so all you Mania nostalgia people can just chill out. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right.
I think it was funny how he said, just give Kane something to do. but that's a great point, man, is the Undertaker is the fucking man. He's proving it time and time again with what he does at WrestleMania, and he can do whatever the fuck he wants. So if anybody's complaining about that, that's just absolutely ludicrous. I don't really understand it whatsoever. Undertaker, he's always welcome on my TV screen, I'll tell you that much. But it bodes a great point about this Shield. Now, I had written an article back in fucking January or something, and I put it on Bleacher Report, and I was just raked over the coals for this article. And my article was about Undertaker versus the Shield. It was this practically exact storyline. If anybody wants to go look it up, feel fucking free. Find me on Bleacher Report. I'm still there. Jersey Strong J, although I hate each and every one of those people, except for Seth. Seth's cool, but I hate everybody else, and Graham. Graham's cool too. But everybody else on Bleacher Report can suck it because they all suck. But anyway, I wrote this storyline, and I had it practically the same way, except I had a fantasy scenario where it would be Undertaker and Triple H as a team at WrestleMania instead of, you know, Triple H versus Lesnar, because nobody wanted to see that, including myself, and Undertaker versus Punk, because at the time I just didn't see that happening. But I wanted Triple H and Undertaker to team up against the Shield and have them be able to give some kind of rub to the Shield at WrestleMania. Now, that kind of happened with Orton, Sheamus, and Big Show. I mean, the Shield still got that rub that I expected to happen, but everybody told me I was crazy to have the storyline. I think I threw like Shawn Michaels in there too, as like Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, like mega team against the Shield, which I think would be pretty fucking cool. But obviously Shawn Michaels is retired and looks like a freaking crazy cowboy hick, whatever the fuck you want to call him. So you know, that's out of the question. But I got just dragged over the coals of this. You got to go look at some of the comments. I'm telling you, some of the comments are absolutely priceless. And those comments are ultimately what got me booted off of that bitch-ass website, Bleacher Report. But I digress. We're here to book this card for you. We're here to tell you what we think should happen at WWE Extreme Rules 2013. And I'm going to kick it over to my man, Toph, first. Toph, we already got three matches. Now, we're going to make these matches, put these in stone. All three of us, you two will, are going to have Cena versus Ryback for the WWE Championship, Triple H versus Brock in the steel cage match, and Ziggler versus Swagger versus ADR in this World Heavyweight Title triple threat match. But fill out the rest of the card for me, Toph. What do you want to see at Extreme Rules?
We need a ladder match. We need an old-fashioned ladder match. The ladder match really is dead. It's been absorbed into the TLC, and it's been absorbed into Money in the Bank. Technically, those are ladder matches, but we need an old-fashioned ladder match that has nothing to do with the TLC gimmick, that has nothing to do with Money in the Bank. The last old-fashioned ladder match we had was Christian versus Shelton Benjamin for the ECW title at TLC 2009, I believe. Could be wrong. I think that was the last one. I would like to see Dolph Ziggler, Alberto Del Rio, and Jack Swagger in a ladder match. Wait a minute. I just fucked it up. Christian had a ladder match against Alberto Del Rio at Extreme Rules in 2011. Well, anyway, Christian's awesome, but that's another story. Anyway, you see what I'm trying to get at? We need a ladder match.
Yeah.
So let's just go ahead and put a ladder match for the World Heavyweight Championship, because it's three guys, and, you know, ladder matches are always exciting with multiple people, and, you know, That's what I would like to see, because Ziggler will sell. You know, Ziggler can be like the Shawn Michaels, and Swagger can be the power guy, and Del Rio can just kind of be like the neutral factor. And, you know, with AJ and Big E and Ricardo, and, you know, every guy has like some person coming to the ring with them, so it'll make for innovative spots and stuff. It'll be fun, you know. That needs to be a ladder match for the World Heavyweight Championship. That's the first match I'd book.
I like it, man. What else you got? Give us your rundown.
For the United States Championship, Kofi and Cesaro, maybe they can have a Falls Count Anywhere match. I think it can fit Kofi's style. Cesaro recently did have a 2 out of 3 falls match with The Miz, and we did see that last year, but I just think a Falls Count Anywhere match kind of fits Kofi's style. And it could be a good opener. You know, Kofi and Cesaro have Kofi go over, and this way Cesaro can move on and go elsewhere. I can't give the Intercontinental Championship a booking right now because I don't know what's going on. I mean, Barrett lost it to Miz. Barrett got it back from Miz, and then he lost to R-Truth. So I don't even know what direction the Intercontinental title is going in. I know they had something to do with, I think there's some type of battle royale to determine the next number one contender. It's at that main event show. So I got to wait and see where that's going. I personally believe the Shield versus Team Hell No and Taker is not going to happen. I think it's going to be some kind of swerve that will ultimately lead to a pay-per-view match at Extreme Rules, and I'd be fine with that. I'd be fine if it was TLC again, just like last year. Whether or not Taker can work that kind of match, I don't know. If not, then it'll probably just be like a street fight or something. I do think the Shield will become tag team champions at some point. So for the sake of argument, let's just say Team Hell No and Taker versus the Shield does happen. It'll probably lead to like a handicap match of some kind of like Team Hell No versus the Shield and a tag team match or something. What's going on with the Divas title? Are they really doing anything of that? Caitlyn's the Divas champion, right?
Caitlyn, last night she had a match against the Bellas and they pulled Twin Magic, which somehow shouldn't seem to work anymore because I guess it's Nikki Bella. Her boobs are gigantic now.
And, yeah.
They did the old switcheroo, so the referee obviously didn't notice it. But, so I think it's leading to some kind of title match with the Bellas because they were victorious last night.
You know, I'm really confused because last I checked, it looked like they were teasing to a Layla heel turn, and they just kind of dropped that, and I don't really know why because I kind of like Layla. I think she's really cool, but I can definitely see the Bellas, you know, especially now that we both know that, you know. Well, we know they're, you know, to those that are listening that don't know, both of the Bellas are dating John Cena and Daniel Bryan. I don't know their names. I get it mixed up all the time. I got to work on that. But, yeah, so they probably have some pull. So we'll probably have Caitlyn against one of the Bellas in the match or something. That's about it. That's all I can think of. So we got Ryback and John Cena. What kind of match will it be? What kind of match?
I think that's going to be your, and I'll just say it right now, I think that's going to be your Extreme Rules match. Because you know they always have one match that's titled
Extreme Rules? I was thinking Last Man Standing, but I'd be fine with Extreme Rules.
Yeah. Last
Man Standings are actually one of Cena's better matches, in my opinion. That's just me, though. I do enjoy his style.
You're right. He doesn't really lose those matches. I don't think he's ever lost one of those.
He doesn't, but those are some of his best matches. I did like, I think he had a few of JBL, or is that an I Quit match? I don't know. Well, he had some good matches of JBL. I know that much.
Yeah, JBL, he had a good one. He even got a great Last Man Standing match out of Batista. I thought that was really good, too. But, I think whatever they do with Cena and Ryback, I think it'll involve the Extreme Rules tag somehow. How about you, Will? You got anything different for fantasy booking Extreme Rules 2013?
Well, I definitely think Team Hell No is going to fight the Shield. I don't know if it's going to be a 3-on-2 or maybe a 3-on-3 match where, you know, it could be a hardcore match or something along those lines for the tag team titles where only two guys are involved. You know, I would like to see the Shield actually kind of split apart where they have two guys for the tag and one guy for the, something like that, I would prefer. So I definitely see that one happening. I think that's pretty obvious it's going to happen at some point. Another match, it's tough. It's tough right now. They only got like 2 weeks to build it. I definitely see Cesaro and Kofi Kingston going at it. I don't know what kind of match those guys are going to have. Maybe a submission match or I don't know. I can't even name the stipulations right now. It's just so soon. It's very tough. I'll be honest. It's very tough right now. They really have not given me enough say. I mean, CM Punk's not going to be on the card. I think they're pushing that away. You definitely see Mark Henry and Sheamus going to probably fight each other. That definitely seems like it's going to happen
at some point.
Yeah, I definitely see that one happening. I see Big Show and Randy Orton fighting each other again, whatever match that may be. I really don't know the stipulations, and honestly, I don't think it makes a difference. But
I don't think every match will have a stipulation this year.
I think it will. I think every match will have some kind of stipulation. I think the World Heavyweight Title match is going to be a triple threat match. That's kind of a stip or something like that. They didn't say every match is going to be extreme rules. I don't think even last year every match was something extreme. I don't think every match was.
Punk Jericho was a street fight. Lesnar Cena was extreme rules. Daniel Bryan Sheamus was 2 out of 3 falls. Randy Orton and Kane, that was false count anywhere. Rey Mysterio and Cody Rhodes also had a match sometime in 2011. But, Extreme Rules usually has, like, 8 or 9 matches, and out of those 8 or 9 matches, about 5 to 6 have a stip most of the time, usually.
Yeah, I mean, the 2 out of 3 falls, you know, that could be something that could definitely be used. I'd like them to do something different this year. Maybe something that they haven't done before, or, you know, a lot of match would be nice this year, but I think they're going to just save it for Philadelphia, which I hope we're going to, by the way.
You know, the only thing that really makes me interested in Lesnar Triple H is if they did 3 Stages of Hell, but that's just me.
Oh, I like that. That'd be a good idea.
That could actually snowball somehow into it. I think if that somehow becomes a stipulation, I think that for sure will be the main event of the night. But, I think you guys are forgetting about somebody here, and I want to make sure I say his name right. I'm going to breathe in the A's. Fandango. Now, you're forgetting about Fandango, and this is the thing. WWE, they tried to take advantage of the popularity he got within
that one week.
You know, that 1 week, and it made me laugh on the internet with the IWC and everybody. Okay, well, before we say that, because we've been talking about Fandango for the better part of 2 months probably, and everybody practically was trashing this guy for a long time, man. I was just reading tweets and Facebook responses and all kinds of crap where everybody just didn't want to see him. They thought he was shit, yada, yada, yada. And then the New Jersey fan of Markism, these fans in Jersey, which you know, I'm from Jersey, obviously, but everybody just went nuts for this guy. And he was over at WrestleMania, too. I was into him. I thought his entrance was cool. I've been a Fandango fan. You can go back and listen to every episode of this show. I have not one time trashed him or this gimmick. I think it's great. But I've been saying it since day one. A lot of your fans out there have been trashing it for weeks and weeks and weeks. And now all of a sudden, because this awesome crowd that everybody seems to put over, that everybody seems to love, that if a crowd somehow doesn't live up to the expectations of the post-WrestleMania crowd, they suck as fans. They're not good fans. They sit in their hands, whatever the case may be. That, to me, is bullshit, because any wrestling fan that spends their hard-earned money to go to that arena is a good fan, okay? So take that, put it in your pipe, smoke it, take it, shove it up your ass, whatever you want to do with it, because that is just a fact, all right? So crowd from 1 week to the next doesn't change the fact that the wrestling show was good. Raw was good, but not because of the fucking crowd. The crowd's going to be nuts next week, and probably part of it has to do with the fact that New Jersey was so out of control. But, yeah, go ahead, Will. What do you got to say?
You know, a part of that I have to disagree with you on, and here's the reason why, is because the audience, even though the show was great, and I think that whether the audience was there or not wouldn't have made a difference, but that audience was having a good time, and that is what I liked about Raw. I was like, oh, my God, this is great. I got jealous. I was like, I'm freaking stuck in Jamaica right now, and I'm watching Raw. I'm like, I wish I was at that freaking Raw. Because it looks like that crowd was having more fun than the crowd at WrestleMania or the crowd at the Hall of Fame. It's like I really found it strange because I'm thinking of last year's WrestleMania, and I'm thinking the crowd was really good last year, and I'm thinking of this year's WrestleMania, and based on my take on it being there, you know, people were dead for the Triple H match. They were dead for, you know, a lot of the other matches. They liked the Fandango-Chris Jericho match. They loved the CM Punk Undertaker. That should have been the last match on the card, you know. And this crowd was just having a good time, whether it was the wrestling or not. But you know what it is? We're all, it was just an exciting weekend. This was the final time that this crowd who came and traveled for miles and, you know, countries and continents and just enjoying the show and doing what they did, especially during the Fandango part. That Fandango part caught on more than anything. And I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. I have never remembered once when somebody, when the audience actually would hum a theme song, you know, and it wasn't even, it was, have you ever heard, I've never ever heard that. I mean, people sing songs, but they don't hum it. Like
hum
that.
Them.
Just
yeah.
I've never seen that before. And that was just the coolest thing. And that right there, I said, you know what? It's working. It's absolutely working. It's not only just the character, but the music. It's all about the music. You know, they say the Ultimate Warrior's music was the music that captivated that character. But I think the music captivates Fandango. And and you saw the reaction on weather channels and news channels. And if it wasn't for that crowd doing what they did, they would never have gotten all that media attention. And I think what they have to do to capitalize on it is they got to put a big Titantron. They got to try to make people hum it and do it all the time. And I think next week in England, they're definitely going to do it because they're a strong audience. But South Carolina, I mean, come on, they sucked last night. They were terrible.
Well,
yeah,
I want to.
Yeah, but hold on real quick.
They were terrible.
My entire point. So who cares? Who gives a shit if they're terrible, man?
I care.
They paid their hard-earned money.
I care.
They pay their hard-earned money to go out and watch WWE. They can react.
Right.
They can do whatever the fuck they want. Why
right.
are we even talking about crowd reactions? Why do we give a shit about crowd reactions? I just
because
don't understand.
Because it made the show fun. It made the show fun. It made the show more fun than it was. The show would have been great even with a dead crowd. But I think the audience changed JBL and the way the commentators were reacting to it, that was just fun. The commentators were just having fun being a part of that show. That Raw is going to go down as one of the best Raws ever because of the audience. And I'm telling you, they are, because people were talking about it all week, how much they loved that crowd. You may have not liked it, Jay, but I'm telling you now,
no.
when you look at that show, and then I watched this week's Raw, I bet this week's Raw was absolutely fucking horrible. I thought it was terrible.
Okay.
I thought the crowd was dead. I thought there was nothing that exciting about the show. And I just think that they're losing a lot of steam because that New Jersey crowd, as good as we are, love New Jersey, you know, made that show better than it was.
Well,
that's
first of all, you're misconstruing my thing. Okay, you're entitled. First of all, you're misconstruing
you.
It. I did not like the crowd. I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was cool. But I don't think it dictates whether a show is good or not. I don't think the way a crowd reacts should give anybody a different opinion on the show as a whole. You're not going to get that crowd every single week. If you want to go see raucous, crazy crowds, go watch ECW from 1997 and watch them chant, Francine takes it up the ass, doo-dah, doo-dah. You want to hear chants? You fucking go back and you watch that stuff. We don't need a stupid chant for fucking everything. Why are they chanting RVD? Why are they chanting Randy Savage during a Randy Orton match? It makes no sense. Don't get me wrong. I'm cool with chants when chants mean something, when they make sense. When the crowd started chanting yes at last year's WrestleMania, I loved it because they were telling everybody that Daniel Bryan is fucking awesome. When everybody before that were all saying, oh, he's not a sports entertainer. He can't entertain. All he can do is wrestle. He fucking sucks. But we all knew he was awesome. And that crowd told us all he was awesome. Same thing this year with Fandango. A lot of us knew he's awesome. We've seen Johnny Curtis work. We know what he can do in the ring. The gimmick is cool. You know, if you wanted to say it's cool, I think it's pretty cool. But the gimmick is what it is. And that crowd at Raw, you got to remember too, man, you're talking about like 16,000 to 20,000 people compared to 80,000 the night before WrestleMania. And plus, you're in an open stadium. all that sound that was going on goes out the building. Like I was even telling you before,
true, yeah.
People were chanting dumb shit. There were chants in my section that didn't catch on, that were loud as hell, that you couldn't hear yourself think, but the rest of the crowd didn't chant them. That's just the way it is at 80,000 seat stadium. But yeah, Raw, that atmosphere was awesome, but you're not going to get that every single week, no matter what. And everybody's hyped up for the England crowd. Everyone's hyped up for the UK. You know what I say? We the people, motherfucker. I don't give a shit about England
yeah,
or the UK.
Yeah, we the people.
I don't care. You know, you guys can try to rip off Jersey and that crowd all you want. Chant random shit during Randy Orton's match. Whatever you want to do. It's not going to be the same thing. Because when you do something like this, if this happened every single week, guess what? It's going to get lame really fucking quick. And I think that it needs to just stay in shows like this after WrestleMania, maybe after SummerSlam if they stay in Los Angeles and that crowd decides to actually do something besides sucking every fucking year. But I digress. This conversation's over. I want to get back to my booking Extreme Rules, because the whole point of it was Fandango, and you guys forgot to book him. And I really think that Chris Jericho, I know he's on about a two-week break from WWE. Not sure if he's going to be available for Extreme Rules, but somehow, some way, if they work in some kind of vignette or some kind of pre-taped or even a live via satellite thing with Jericho challenging Fandango for the pay-per-view, I'm sure there might be some way he can make that pay-per-view because it's like 2 weeks away or something. I would book Jericho and Fandango, and I'd make it some kind of a Falls Count Anywhere match or a or no DQ, no holds barred, because
disco ball and a pole match.
Yeah, there you go. Real quick, we got a caller, guys, real quick. Let me take this call. It's 708 area code. You're on the line with PWP Radio. What's going on, 708?
Hey, Jason. What's up, man? It's Pat from Chicago.
Hey, Pat from Chicago, my main man. What's going on, brother?
Hey,
what do you got to say tonight?
Well, you were bringing up the whole thing about the crowd. I couldn't help. I had to call in because I just don't really understand. This is the whole, I guess, main big argument throughout, I guess, my whole thing with what's going on in wrestling today that is kind of an issue, is that everything that a lot of us love comes from the fact that things that were crowd-related in wrestling. I mean, I grew up in the 80s watching wrestling, you know, the rock and wrestling era, Hogan, Savage, Jake Roberts, all that stuff. And one of the big things, you know, was things like chanting like DDT and things like that and all these different things that would just elicit reactions and whatever. And I just don't see that enough in today's wrestling. I mean, the fact that they were chanting things during the Sheamus Randy Orton match, you could do two things with that. You could either say that was because of the fact that they were bored to tears of the match and they just didn't really want to see these guys, or they just wanted to make themselves the story. I agree with you. If they're just trying to make themselves a story, that's a bad thing. But if they really are just trying to do something to shake up the product because there is something they actually do not like, the only way you're going to do that is one of two ways. You're either not going to go to the shows and not spend your money so then they can see, oh, it's not working, or you go to the shows and you start actually eliciting reactions for the things you actually want to see. You know, if you don't really like Cena, booing him actually isn't going to get it done, because we see now, booing him, cheering him, he's still going to be the number one face on the show. The only way you're really going to do anything is just don't react at all.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
I just think
right,
that,
man.
Yes, crowd reaction is a very big deal if it's used
Thank
the
you.
Right way.
Yeah, if it's used the right way, that's the thing. And I agree with you 100%, man, because you know, Ryback, Sheamus, obviously they're two guys that the IWC, and that was mainly the crowd, is the guys you talk to on the Facebook message boards and on the group pages and on Twitter. That was the crowd in New Jersey last Monday. You know, it was those people, the kids in the crowd, the families. They were reacting the way they were reacting. A lot of them just jump on board with whatever's being chanted. I saw that at WrestleMania, man. But, yeah, you got a point, man. If the crowd doesn't like something, yeah, react. I agree. You know, chant random shit during Randy Orton's match or the Sheamus' match. But to me, it just didn't make any fucking sense, a lot of it. It just didn't make
sense. It made perfect
sense,
Jay. Here's the reason why it makes sense.
Yeah.
I've noticed that no one's brought this up yet. If you remember, they did a poll. They had the fans vote
on who was going to fight the Big Show. First of all, I don't think anybody cared about seeing Randy Orton versus Big Show or Sheamus versus Big Show. They had the fans vote, so the fans did what they did. They demonstrated their First Amendment rights, and they expressed their opinions, and they voted for Randy Orton, soundly voted for Randy Orton. You know, props to Sheamus for being a babyface, and, you know, he's still trying to get over. But at this point in time, he's nowhere near Randy Orton's popularity. Randy Orton won the poll. And so basically WWE said, well, fuck you. We're going to go ahead and do the match anyway. And when they did that, it pissed the crowd off because they didn't want to see the match, and they voted. And WWE was like, well, you know what? We're going to go ahead and do the match anyway. And that pissed off the fans. And so at that point, they were like, well, you know what? We're just going to take over this show. And that's why they shut on the match, because before that, they were crazy, but they weren't chanting demeaning stuff to take away attention. Because if you remember, there was that meaningless six-man tag. You remember? That was just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
They could have chanted stuff there, but they didn't because they had no reason to be angry. The reason they would be just completely crapped on that match was because the fans were angry. They gave their opinion, they expressed their opinion, and WWE basically said, fuck you, and they had the match anyway. That was why they crapped on the match. That was why.
All right, well, that's a good point. I actually forgot about that, and that's a point that I actually made at some point, because that segment, if you started off in the beginning, that took like three segments on Raw last week. It was like
it was
a
three-segment
type deal. You know, it was kind of absurd. But, yeah, you know, we're talking about crowd reactions here. And my whole point is, like, moving forward, we can't compare everything to that crowd that night. We just can't do it. We got to stop with this shit. It was cool. Leave it there. If you want to go back and watch it and enjoy that moment, fine. All more power to you. But don't try to compare next week's crowd in England to that crowd, no matter what they do. Because you know they're going to try to do the same crazy shit that was happening in Jersey. That's the type of deal that doesn't happen too often. You remember last year, the Raw after WrestleMania? They were chanting yes at every single segment of the show. They were chanting yes. It was fucking crazy. It was absurd. It was unheard of. And people were reacting the same way. They're saying, oh, Daniel Bryan's the fucking man. Everybody was liking him after that. And the same thing is happening with Fandango. But hey, Pat, man, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it, man.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks, brother. All right, so,
you know, I will give that crowd one good thing, though. The three top guys that were advertised for that show was Brock Lesnar, The Rock, and CM Punk, and neither one of them were there. So based off that, any hardcore wrestling fan would be upset, you know, but they may have fun anyway. They still went out there and they had fun. You know, they didn't get any refunds out the deal. Many fans came there, and they paid their hard-earned money to see CM Punk. They paid their money to see The Rock. They paid their money to see Brock Lesnar. And neither of them were there, and they still had fun. And that's
very
a good crowd
point.
Right there.
That's a very good
yeah,
point.
Yeah, very good point.
We can talk about this. You think a lot of people would be pissed at that kind of shit, but, you know.
I'd be pissed.
I was just having such a, I'd be pissed, too, but you know what? If I was in that crowd right now, that'd be the last thing I'd be thinking about. Oh, CM Punk wasn't there. Oh, The Rock wasn't there. Well, fuck that. I had a great time. Is that what it's about at the end of the day, is having a great time? I mean, I've been to WWE shows or house shows that have been boring. You know, that sucked. You know, but, you know, that was a show that I think that if I went to that, I would have said Raw was better than WrestleMania for me. I think that would be my initial reaction to that.
Yeah, the atmosphere had to have been electric, guys. I'm sorry I missed that show. I was on the fence
and
about going or
winning
not.
The world title was just another great added bonus to that.
Even though
yeah,
it made no sense, but yeah.
Dolph Ziggler made no... Why did Dolph Ziggler winning make no sense? I want to hear
why
that.
Would you cash in the day after WrestleMania? That's just stupid. You could have done it.
Because
you could have been the first person to cash in at WrestleMania. WrestleMania 29 was a very status quo, complacent, predictable, boring card. The matches were fine, but there were no WrestleMania moments. There was nothing shocking. The show went exactly. I've talked to several people and I asked them, what did you think about WrestleMania 29? They've all told me the exact same thing. It went exactly as they predicted. A WrestleMania shouldn't go exactly as you predict. It should be full of unpredictable moments. It should be surprised. When WrestleMania is over, you as a wrestling fan should be invested into watching watching Raw the very next night. WrestleMania 29 did not have a moment like that. There was no moment on the show to make me as a fan feel like, oh, I can't wait to watch Raw tomorrow. It didn't have that. Dolph Ziggler cashing in, it could have been that moment. Because the finish they did with Swagger and Del Rio wasn't any different. Swagger worked on the leg the entire match. When the match was over, Del Rio was selling the injury, and he was just kind of celebrating with Ricardo for like a good 2 minutes, you know, just waiting for the cash in, and nothing happened. I mean, congrats to Ziggler. It just didn't do anything. But I will agree that post-Raw Mania generally is better for some reason. The booking's better. The crowd's better. The matches are better. So, you know, if I get
and
a chance.
And they had to rebook that show. And they had to rebook the show on top of it.
Yeah, you know.
Well, this is the only thing I can say about the Ziggler thing is that you got to remember, too, he was booked at WrestleMania and he wrestled. It was a really good match with Team Hell No. He took the pinfall, he took the choke slam, then he took the flying headbutt. And obviously, you know, if you're looking at, like, old-school wrestling booking, he was in a match. Raw last week, he wasn't booked. He didn't have a match. He wasn't, like, in a match before the Del Rio Swagger match, wasn't a match after it. He wasn't booked. I think in WWE nowadays, I think that's kind of the status quo with the Money in the Bank briefcase at this point. I don't know. I think that has something to do with it, the fact that he took that pinfall. If he wasn't on WrestleMania, if somehow he was excluded from the card, I think then you might have gotten that cash in. But it's all just like he said, she said shit. I thought it was fine how they did it at WrestleMania and what they did at WrestleMania and what they did on the Raw after WrestleMania. I don't think it would have made much of a difference either way. He's still World Heavyweight Champion. Yeah, it's what everybody wanted. And, of course, you got a huge moment on Raw out of it that everybody could see. And not just the people that went to MetLife or spent the $60 on the pay-per-view. So, you
yeah,
know,
I mean, one thing I have to understand about, too, is that it makes logical sense. When would you cash in your Money in the Bank briefcase? When Del Rio had a match and also you had a match the same night? Or when you see the champion vulnerable and you didn't even wrestle yet? It just makes logical sense. For that to happen. Yeah, I'm mad I didn't see that WrestleMania to cash in, but honestly, the Del Rio versus Swagger match was actually pretty good. I really liked the match. I thought the wrestling was really great. It overexceeded my expectations on that match. And that to me would have been, that would have ruined the Swagger momentum. You know, that
momentum? He got a jobber entrance. What are you talking about?
he's in the World Heavyweight title match at WrestleMania. Are you in the World Heavyweight title match at WrestleMania?
If I was, I'd be sure enough to get a jobber match.
Would you rather be off the card at WrestleMania or be in the World Heavyweight title match? You tell me that.
I would rather be off the card because I wouldn't want to get a jobber entrance.
That's a lie. That is the biggest lie I've ever heard.
It's really not that big of a deal. WrestleMania really isn't that big of a deal anymore, to be honest. But that's another topic for another day. Sorry.
It's the biggest deal in the entire business. There's nothing. Let me hear this though. What's a bigger deal than WrestleMania in the
WrestleMania doesn't mean anything anymore, Jay. Nothing ends at WrestleMania anymore. Feuds continue. It's like nothing ends anymore. I remember when WrestleMania used to be the end. Like, the day after WrestleMania, that was when all the debuts happened, all the new feuds happened. At WrestleMania now, it's like, it just feels like just another pay-per-view. It feels like a four-hour SmackDown. Nothing special happens, and the feuds continue. I mean, sure, the moment it feels nice, it still feels big. It still draws in fans, and, you know, I'm not demeaning the Hall of Fame or the Access or any of that stuff. Oh, that stuff is awesome. I love the Hall of Fame. That's great. I'm just saying, like, the pay-per-view itself, for me, it lost value years ago. The last WrestleMania for me that actually meant something was 24. That was the last one for me that felt big, that was big, and the very next night, it really felt like a change of guard. Since then, it just feels like another pay-per-view. You know, look at WrestleMania 27. The fact that Money in the Bank was just 10 times better than WrestleMania, that tells you all you need to know. I mean, every year there's pay-per-views that are consistently better than Mania. Like, you had Money in the Bank that was better at WrestleMania 27. Extreme Rules was better last year than WrestleMania and the year before that. Each year, more and more pay-per-views are better than WrestleMania. That's not good. WrestleMania is supposed to be the biggest show of the year. Nothing should be bigger than that. And I'm seeing all these B-show pay-per-views that are better than that.
The fact that these B shows are better is telling me the value of Mania is not special anymore. It just isn't.
It's hilarious to me that you still think there's A shows and B shows in WWE. That's just not the case. That whole entire thing with WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble being the big four, that thing went out the window a long, long, long time ago. And you're kind of like making your point. You're said like here with Extreme Rules being better than WrestleMania. You're saying that they don't end any feuds, whereas Extreme Rules is basically Backlash. Where Backlash previously would continue these feuds, a lot of the feuds, so you can get another great buy rate, because WrestleMania is always the biggest buy rate of the year for WWE.
So you're saying you don't believe in the big four anymore? You don't think that exists anymore?
I don't either.
I think it went out the window a long time ago. I really do. I think
SummerSlam
and
WrestleMania.
I think, you know, Survivor Series has become kind of just a filler card. Every once in a while, something special, like when The Rock made his in-ring return and whatnot. But when you look at these Extreme Rules cards, and you said the last 2 years, they were arguably better than WrestleMania, that kind of tells your point, because those feuds continued for the most part. You know, like last year, of course, we got that awesome Brock Lesnar versus John Cena match, but we also had CM Punk and Chris Jericho continue. You know, we also had pretty much all the other feuds continued into the card too, Bryan and Sheamus and whatnot. So, I mean, that is the whole point of having this show, this pay-per-view, the month after WrestleMania or a few weeks after it or whatever the case may be, so you can really tie the loose ends of whatever remaining issues you had at WrestleMania. This year, if you look at the card, you're having your rubber match with Triple H and Brock Lesnar, which is necessary. You need this rubber match. You can't just end the feud at 1-1. That's why eventually I think there's going to be another Cena Rock match down the line if The Rock ever wants to wrestle again. And, of course, you add Ziggler. He's the World Heavyweight title now. You throw him into this Swagger and Alberto Del Rio feud, which continues, no big deal. The feud is still relatively new. I think Jericho and Fandango is going to be apropos. If you can do it again, do it. Fandango's over. Jericho will always be over. He's one of the best in the business. Do that again. Continue to get Fandango over. The Shield and Hell No, we've been there, done that. But, of course, the Shield is going to continue their momentum. They're eventually going to be tag team champions, and I think they should really have the Freebird rule where any of the three can defend the titles at any time. I think that'll happen. But then if you look at the rest of the shit, I think, personally, we're going back to the Extreme Rules booking now. We're kind of taking this full circle. I personally think Big Show is going to be off TV for a while after SmackDown. I don't know if they're going to pull him off because of this whole lawsuit thing that's going on, or if they're just going to have him continually job. But if they do have him wrestle at Extreme Rules, I think it will be against Randy Orton, because what else are you going to do with him? Of course, Henry versus Sheamus will take place. I think if Kofi isn't going to wrestle Cesaro and Jericho's not available, I think you're going to throw Fandango in for the United States title against Kofi. I think Fandango will get that spot, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him win the strap. Maybe that's the whole point of putting it on Kofi, so you can then pass it over to Fandango so he can get a run with a mid-card title. But at this point, I think Extreme Rules is looking pretty solid. Cena Ryback, of course, is like your Cena Brock match last year. It's going to have the same type of thing to it. It's going to have like a personal feud type feel to it, which is the way they should go. So I'm pretty pumped for Extreme Rules. I mean, you could say what you want about WrestleMania 29. All I know is everybody every single year complains that WrestleMania is a sports entertainment show, has too much celebrity involvement, has too much crap. You want to see more wrestling. You want to see more great matches. Well, let me tell you something. WrestleMania 29 had great wrestling, had great matches. It's the kind of card, although it was a little bit predictable, big fucking deal, predictability in WWE, like we haven't seen that before in any other card, in any other company, you know, it's like, it's not really, to me, a big deal. WrestleMania was still huge. 80,000, and you could say WrestleMania will sell out no matter what, but 80,000 fucking people were there, man. It was just freaking believable, and I can't wait to see the buy rate, because I have a feeling it's going to shatter last year's buy rate. It's going to be bigger because of Brock Lesnar.
We have some good footage also that we shot with the fans out, you know, at WrestleMania, and how they were excited, and, you know, some of the fans, the way they were dressed up and having a good time. I mean, one guy was passed out in the car at WrestleMania because he got too drunk. That was one of the funniest things. I mean, you remember that, Jay, right?
Oh, yeah, and the whole, there was a bunch of fans around him, and everybody started the 10 count on him and shit.
Yeah,
everybody went nuts.
That was great.
It was
That was fun. That was fun. So that to me was like part of WrestleMania experience, not just being a part of the event, but going to all the things, going to Access. You know, that was my vacation this year. Instead of going somewhere like Jamaica, I went to Jamaica, but if you go anywhere like Las Vegas or anything, I would have rather spent my money doing this stuff at WrestleMania, because guess what? This only comes here every 9 years or 10 years.
Right.
So the odds of me in 9 years having a family and, you know, and things like that, this might have been my last WrestleMania run. So this is why I really put my heart out for this one. And, you know, people can crap on it all they want, but until you go to a WrestleMania, you really have nothing to say.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you could look back at, I was also at WrestleMania 20 and WrestleMania 25, and coincidentally enough, those are two shows that people relatively crap on for not having that great of cards and for being a little bit predictable and whatnot. But, hell, those experiences are definitely priceless to me, worth a lifetime. And I also wanted to talk a little bit about what else we did over the weekend, Will, and that was we were at Pro Wrestling Syndicate both days. Obviously, I went Thursday and Friday. You were there Thursday night with me, and we filmed a lot of awesome footage with fans and professional wrestlers alike. And I just want to tell the fans a little bit that you can check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/PW Powerhouse TV. And we already have our interview with superstar Billy Graham up and running. He's got some candid thoughts on Bruno Sammartino, which I asked him about. And then he just went on about The Rock. He had some great things to say about The Rock. And it was definitely
interesting.
And I also want to – yeah, man, exactly. And I also want to send out my thoughts and prayers to superstar Billy Graham, because coincidentally enough, he was just hospitalized the other night. I believe it was Sunday night. He suffered from a pneumonia. He was on vacation in Wyoming with his wife, and he got really sick. So superstar Billy Graham back in the hospital. I tell you what, when we saw him, he looked great, seemed great spirits, was his charismatic self. If you watch the video, you'll see that, man. He just was great. A lot of people have different varying opinions on the superstar, but I thought he was awesome. And we also got a great interview from New Jack. John Morrison, we got him back on. Of course, we had him on this radio show 2 weeks ago. If you haven't heard the interview with John Morrison, go back on iTunes and listen to it. It was cool. We had John Morrison on camera talking to us about his match with Elijah Burke that was taking place. And the next night, he wrestled Jushin Thunder Liger, which was absolutely fucking awesome. Great match to see live. We also got thoughts from Kevin Matthews, who's the Pro Wrestling Syndicate champion. We had Mike Bucci, you know, Nova, Simon Dean. He was on the show with us hyping up his match alongside Chris Chetty, his former tag team partner. They had a great match. Man, Shelly Martinez was smoking hot. We didn't see her. She made me real nervous. She took those pretty titties and just pressed them right up against me. Will,
oh my God.
You can attest, Will. I was a little bit nervous. I was a little bit, red-faced and everything, because she's really hot. And
this guy was redder than an apple, man. This guy, he lost it. He was trying his best, and I'll make sure I show that on the upcoming video that we have coming out. You know, but Pro Wrestling Syndicate was fun. I got to tell you, Eric, you know, told us, you know, was showing how many people were there. Over 1,000 people. That's amazing. I would never would think that an independent wrestling show would get 1,000 people one night and then over 1,500 the next night. That's amazing how many people he got in that show. And that shows all the hard work that he put into that. And I got to say, Pro Wrestling Syndicate was fun. That was a really fun, entertaining show. I can't wait to go to the next one. And not the one in Queens, that's a little too far for me, but if the next one he's doing here in Metuchen, I'll definitely be going to that.
Yeah, I might take the trip to Queens, because one of my favorite wrestlers, Homicide, is going to be on the card, and he's going to wrestle Kevin Matthews, so I might go to that one.
A wrestling show. I'm not going to see him.
I might go up there to see that, but yeah, Will said it perfectly, man. Pro Wrestling Syndicate was awesome. If you want to check them out, go to prowrestlingsyndicate.com. And they have those DVDs for sale right now. And you could check out Supercard Night 1 and Night 2 with just loaded cards. And Night 1 had a fantastic match. It was Davey Richards versus Anthony Nese versus Jushin Thunder Liger in a triple threat match, which was really cool as well. So, yeah, we've got a lot. Hopefully the door is open in the future to work with Pro Wrestling Syndicate again. I talked to Eric Fleska. He's a good guy. Very, very cool, down-to-earth man. And, you know, he let us have free reign, and that was absolutely awesome. So we'll definitely be working with Pro Wrestling Syndicate again in the future. There are a lot of podcasts out there that work with them, which is great, man, because a lot of indie companies, and even just regular companies for that matter, aren't really open to that. But Pro Wrestling Syndicate took us in with open arms, and I really appreciate that. And, yeah, hopefully the videos will be out soon. And, you know, move forward here on PWP Radio. Next week we've got Ricky Morton. So if you've got questions for Rock and Roll Express member Ricky Morton, please send them in. You can send them to me through Twitter or on Facebook, Twitter at PW Powerhouse, or Facebook, facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse, or find my contact page on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. A lot of great articles, man. Sunday I posted like 6 new articles on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. So check it out. You know, it's a 1-year anniversary for the website. And, you know, get on there. Support the site a little bit. Check us out on Amazon.com. Check out our Amazon store. Go there, buy the new Mick Foley DVD. Buy whatever you want to buy, anything. If you go through our site, go through our links, you can buy whatever you want, and a portion of your spending will go to us. It's a small percentage, but it helps us pay the bill that Blog Talk Radio gives us each and every single month. And the bill sucks. It's expensive. But, hey, that's the price we pay to be in this game. So we're winding down the show. We've got about 10 minutes left, but I might cut it out early because I'm really tired and I've talked a lot tonight. But, Toph, man, let's get your final thoughts, man. Anything you want to say, anything you want to vent. It's open mic night. I want you to say we've all vented a lot tonight, and it's been absolutely great. No matter what our opinions are in wrestling, we're all friends. And, again, I just want to thank you, Toph. I thanked you in the beginning in my little rundown of the names, and I just want to thank you for your hard work and efforts right here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse for the past year or however long you've been involved, 8 to 10 months, whatever it's been. Thanks, man, and let's get your final thoughts. Anything you want to vent or say to the crowd tonight?
Sure. Thanks. It's no problem helping out with the PWP. It's always great to be part of something that's growing. My final vent is going to be something related to TNA. And basically what TNA needs to do, I hope you guys are listening, you know, TNA fans or TNA producers, executives, writers, whoever the hell is in charge. You guys are basically doing the schedule that, you know, WWF used to do back in the day, where you used to do a live show and then a recording and so on and so forth. And the problem with that schedule is it exhausts the crowd, because essentially it's like a 4-hour show. And WCW used to come down to my area all the time, and I used to go through a lot of Saturday night tapings and stuff. And the problem with that type of thing is it's exhausting on the crowd, because you don't do anything. You don't have anybody on the second show that wasn't there on the first show, so you're seeing the same people. So, TNA, if you're going to book that type of show, you're going to have to be a little bit more careful with your booking. You don't want to have everybody come out in the first show, because then if they come out in the second show, no one's going to give a shit. So just be a little bit more smart with your booking, and, you know, try to book smarter. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. No, good, man. And hire Adam Pearce, because that guy deserved to be hired last week. He got a watchful match at that idiot Magno, whatever the hell. And he deserved to have a job. And I thought it was ludicrous that they said no to him. And then because he's a 17-year veteran, you're going to say no to that guy when your champion is fucking Bubba Ray Dudley, who's been on TV since 1996. So that to me is fucking ridiculous. And of course, the main event involved him and Jeff Hardy, who we've seen wrestle each other a million times. And it was the most fucking predictable you want to say WrestleMania is predictable, that fucking ladder match is the most predictable bullshit I've ever seen. And it was horrible. I don't know. I just fucking hated that ladder match, man. It was so bad. But, yeah, you know, hire Adam Pearce. That's what I got to say about TNA. Will, man, since I got you on the line, man, thank you for all your help with ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com and especially PWP TV. If we, you know, didn't have you on board, there's no way we're getting any kind of web show out of it. It would be me sitting in front of a webcam, and nobody wants to see that, because nobody likes all those freaking idiots on YouTube that do that. Just sit in front of a webcam and say, oh, I hate John Cena because he's so boring. That shit is ridiculous. So thank you for that. Thank you for your contributions to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio since our very first show last August. Thanks a lot, man. And your final thoughts, anything you want to vent tonight on the show?
Does that mean I get a raise?
Well, you know, I haven't made a fucking dime off of this show yet, but someday maybe. If I make some money, then maybe we'll see.
Okay, good. So that has been recorded, and now it's on Blog Talk Radio history. So make sure we go back to this episode within, like, another year when you're making, like, $1 million because everyone's coming on your show, and I deserve a raise. But I differ on the ladder match. I actually thought it was a very good ladder match. It was a good build the entire show. I like how Brooke kind of got involved and how, you know, Bubba's being a really dickhead husband. It's like one of the, like, that's a dickhead husband right there, ladies and gentlemen. What he's doing right now with Brooke. I love it. And I like the little, because sometimes you forget that Taz is actually out there doing commentary. You kind of forget that sometimes, that he's a member of the Aces and Eights. So it was kind of a good way to promo saying, don't no one go out there, and Taz is out there the whole time. You know, you kind of forget that. And I thought it was a little sneaky way of winning that match. And I think that puts Jeff Hardy out of the title picture now. They have to try to get someone else into it. But I think TNA's doing a good job. And they are switching back and forth. They're having, like, the X Division show, the X Division stars on the show. And they are kind of switching back and forth between them. And no Aces and Eights member was even on the show, I think, this last TNA. And they're going to be on next week, I think. All of them are going to be on next week. So Kurt Angle wasn't on either. So I think they are booking correctly. I think they're doing a good job with that. I think TNA is actually a better product than WWE right now, honestly. I've been skipping through Raw. I've been skipping through SmackDown. But TNA, I'm actually quite interested in. They don't have a pay-per-view every month. You know, so
yeah,
it's kind of refreshing to see that. And you know, they're going to different cities. Or they're finding, like, different crowds. And, you know, they're experimenting. And I think they're doing a really good job. I also think they have a stronger show than Raw. They have a stable that's very strong. Bubba Ray's doing a great job as world champion. He's believable. And, you know, it's just going right. I think everything's just going right with that company.
Well, I too watch the show every week. And I've gone through my phases where TNA got really bad. And I'm sure all three of us can attest to the fact that at times during their tenure as a wrestling company, they've been bad. And I've given up watching the show plenty of times in the past, but right now I'm watching it. And there are certain things about the show that I like and certain things I don't like. There's a lot of kind of you talk about booking plans that are kind of dropped, that you just don't know what happens. TNA doesn't really do that, but sometimes they'll do a little something. Like this whole angle with Matt Morgan and Hogan, it's kind of like a side story, but I have no idea where it's headed. I don't know what they're doing with it at all.
It's very slow.
They've been doing that for like 2 years now. I'm waiting for it to go somewhere.
I think it will. I don't think they know what to do with it. I really don't. But that's one of the things about TNA that bothers me consistently. But the show is improving, and I think it's great to be on the road. But since we're winding down the show tonight, I'm gonna just thank everybody once again. It's been 1 year for ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Thanks to everybody who's listening or who has listened tonight. Please go to iTunes, check us out, hit that download, subscribe button, get it to your device each and every week, every single show. That's us this week on Tuesday nights, tomorrow night, Oh You Didn't Know Radio, and Spoilers, which has their own fan following, and it's a very good show. These guys kind of do it whenever they want. It's supposed to be Thursday night, but whatever the case may be. We also have another radio show debuting in the beginning of May. It's going to be called Pro Wrestling Obsession Live right here on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network. This show is going to be based around independent wrestling. It's going to have a lot of special guests from the independent scene. I know there's going to be a big reveal soon of who the guests are going to be. But Rick Craig, who's a member of the Oh You Didn't Know show, is going to be the host of that. So Pro Wrestling Obsession Live is going to debut sometime in the beginning of May. Thanks again to everybody who's listened to this show ever. We couldn't do it without you. We really appreciate it. Hit us up on Facebook once again, facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse, Twitter @PWPowerhouse, and just continue to listen. Oh, yeah, go over to Twitter, tag @fuckingshow, and tell them that they're a bunch of fucking assholes for trying to make money off of Bobby Heenan dying. I think it's fucked up. I think it's horrible. It put me in a bad mood when it happened. And last night, it put me in an even worse mood because their fans started coming at me with these bullshit, immature insults for no reason, thinking I give a fuck. Like, I really don't give too much of a fuck. But what really bothers me more than anything is the fact that they created this T-shirt to try to make money off of Bobby the Brain Heenan dying, and that fucking sucks. So go over there, talk some shit to them, and tell them I sent you. But hey, for Toph, for Will, for John, yeah, congratulations, John, and your baby boy. I hope to have you back on the show soon. And for all the callers, thank you very much for calling in tonight. This has been Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, episode number, what is it, 32? Yeah, fucking episode number 32. And next week, Rock and Roll Express member Ricky Morton will be with us live. Thanks for listening, and you know what to do. Keep it real.
Of course.